Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be in the house this morning. Great atmosphere in the house today. Just let me get started here. Is there anybody here with us for the first time? Anybody in the house for the first time? Brilliant. You're very welcome. Amen. Great. You're very welcome, sir. Where are you from? The north? Swords. Ah, oh, yeah, I know. I'm from there myself. That's a good place. Amen. You know, we're continuing on in the series of Brave. And if I was to ask all of yous, you know, to tell me a brave story, I'm sure yous all could. But there's one guy that stands out for me, and it was in 2009. And this guy, his name was Chelsea Sullenberg. And he was a pilot. And he landed a plane on the Hudson River. And it was in January 2009 where the temperatures were 40 degrees, minus 40 degrees. But what struck me about this guy was there was 150 people on the plane and not one of them perished. You know, and that guy is a hero in my eyes. He, you know, before he left the plane, he walked up and down the aisles, making sure that there was nobody left behind. While the water was rushing in through the plane, he made sure, before he got off, that everybody was saved. And even the staff that were on the plane that day, they were also saved. And as I said, many of us could tell a story about acts of bravery and who stands out for us. And I'm sure even heroic heroes like Superman and Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and Bruce Wayne, and, you know, but all of these guys all hide behind a mask. But not Superman. Superman never hid behind a mask. He always showed his identity. And he looked good in the tights as well, I think. But you know, this morning I want to bring your attention to four fantastic people in the Bible. And these four guys, you know, we don't often hear about them. And they were four guys that saved the city. And if you would like to turn with me, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to 2 Kings 7, 1-11. And then we're going to take it back up then at 2 Kings 17:19. So bear with me as we go through this morning. Has everybody got their Bibles? Okay. Okay, so Elijah replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord could open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elijah, "but you will not eat of it." Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and the horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went to the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeeper shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. You know, this piece of scripture was set in a time where the king of Samaria was a deep sinner. He was so sinful that the king made false gods unto himself. The people of the city, they were fallen like the monarch. They would worship idols, and they bowed down to these idols. They had gone far off from God. They were surrounded by the Aramean army, and desperate scenes of starvation took place within that city. The scenes were so horrific that the people began to boil their children and they began to eat them. You know, the food supplies ran so short that the demand for food was so great inside the city that it skyrocketed. Inflation was on the up, and the people began to eat anything they could get their hands on. At one stage throughout the famine, a donkey's head sold for 60 pieces of silver. And you know, the people even bought bird droppings. And I know that sounds gross, but this is what they did to survive. And the bird droppings would cost them about 5 pieces of silver. They were that hungry that they were determined to do anything to survive. Just imagine living back then. I don't know about you, but I think I would be saying, "I'm a celebrity," or "I'm a Christian, get me out of here." Or somehow I don't think "Come Dine With Me" would be such a special eventful night to go to. Imagine turning up, "What's on the menu tonight? Donkey stew." I don't think that cuts it. But you know, in all that chaos and madness, there was a man of God, a man of God called Elisha, who was the righteous man. He had a track record of reliability. He was well known by the people in Samaria. He had prophesied many things in that city, and many miracles took place in that city. Elijah told the people, "Expect the extraordinary." He told the king's servant, "Expect the extraordinary." Words that were foreign to this servant. Elijah told him, "Mark my words, in 24 hours' time, you're going to see this city is going to be reversed. You're going to see things are going to improve in this city. Things are going to get better around here. There will be blessings of a fruitful harvest of food. There will be no more food scarcity. There will be no more extravagant price hikes. Food is going to be reduced. There's going to be radical price reductions." Elisha was confident in who he was. He was confident in who he knew his God was. He knew he had heard from God. And the man of God was met with unbelief. He was met with unbelief by the king's servant. You see, the king's servant doubted the power of God. He doubted the messenger of God. He even doubted the creativity of God. You see, the king's servant was looking with a natural eye. He had no idea that God could bring supernatural provision in a completely unexpected way. But God used the unforeseen. He used 4 lepers who dared to believe differently. You know, leprosy back then was so horrific that their skin would actually fall off the bone. The skin would actually rot, and body parts would begin to fall off. And you know, leprosy was so contagious back then that the people in the city were terrified of people with this condition. The lepers were alienated from their own hometown. They were forced to stay at the entrance of the city gate. They stood afar off. What a stigma. What a stigma they carried. Rejected, abandoned, isolated, not allowed to intermingle with their own family and friends. And to top it off, every time these four men approached the city, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And this was to forewarn the people that they were coming. Clean or unclean can be a matter of importance for us today as people. Have you ever been shunned or ostracized or ever been excluded for the way you looked, the way you talked, or where you're from? I remember when we first came to Liberty and we used to do church up in St. Andrew's Hall. Yeah, St. Andrew's Hall. And I remember the first sermon that I heard Noel preaching. And he said, "Whoever enters these doors, all are welcome. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you wear, what you look like, whether you're educated, uneducated, all are welcome into the house of liberty." You know, that resonated deep within my heart. It did something within inside of me. And you know, we as a church have to continue to follow that legacy through. You know, the four leprous men were reduced to find scraps thrown out from the people in the city. They were forced now to live out of a garbage bin to survive because nobody wanted them. They became more and more hungry, lacking nourishment with no food and living in a state of hopelessness. For many of us that come to church for the first time, we probably stood afar off. You probably stood at that back door wondering, what is this all about? You probably stood down there with hunger pains so horrific that you needed spiritual nourishment and you just didn't know how to get it. In the early years of my Christian walk, I got jeered off as being a radiate hugger, not a tree hugger, a radiate hugger. And I would sit in church, huddled up to the radiator, with feelings of being skeptical and feelings of God was afar off. But God looked down at my life at 22 years of age, when I was running with the ways of the world, partying and a very angry and frustrated young woman, to realise that God wasn't afar off, but it was me who was afar off. You see, God was pursuing me. He wanted me. He was always close by to me. I started to come into the church and I started to sit down and say, "Lord, open my heart that I can hear what it is that you're saying to me." And during the preaching and the stirring of the word, it began to rise up in me. It was Jesus who brought me in. It was Jesus who took me out of my spiritual poverty. It was Jesus who fed me. It was Jesus who clothed me. It was Jesus when I said, "Here I am, Lord, I surrender to receive your spiritual life." You know, in our frailties and our struggles, Jesus says, "I want you. I want each and every one of you here today. That the whosoever who believe in him will never thirst, will never hunger again." Just like the lepers, God was close by to them. But what they didn't know was God was going to use them to bring hope, to bring life, to bring restoration and justice back into a nation. What looked like their death sentence was to be their gain. Abandoned by their own people, only to find their abandonment was into the hands of a supernatural God. Stepping out is the biggest risk of their life, but this determines their fate. They started to think logically, why stay here? Why stay here until we die? So they made a decision. You know the way they say it on X Factor? So we've made a decision. But these four guys made a decision that their chances were better if they surrendered to the Aramean army. Why stay here until we die? A question, a dilemma that many of us struggle with, many of us face. Our natural inclination in today's world says, am I still not a leper? Am I still not full of fear? Am I still not an alcoholic, a drug addict? Am I still not a liar? Have I not still got this diseased condition, leprosy, living within me? If people really knew who I am, they would back away. And if they knew what I did in secrecy, they wouldn't want me. But Jesus says, I want you. I want you. There's no seven-step program to leprosy, folks. It's the touch of the Almighty God who sets us free. You know, we won't have it all together. We won't be perfect. But Jesus is the answer to our hunger pains. He is our source when we are hungry. He is the one that quenches our thirst and gives us fountains of his living water. All we have to do is receive. All we have to do is say, Lord, here I am, and I want to receive your bread today. If we have had a true encounter with Jesus and made that decision to turn to his ways, we will be a testimony of his goodness. But if we sit here and think, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hang on and be a testimony one day when God makes me perfect, when God cures me of this leprous disease condition within me. I'm going to hang on and wait till God takes these afflictions from me. But if we sit here and think that, friends, we're never going to move out of the camp. We're never going to be a testimony. We're never going to be perfect until the day we die. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be working in us. And he's going to be showing us areas in our life that lack the glory of God. Why sit here until we die? We've got to get up. We've got to step out and be risk takers. What an honor it is to know that God has heard the cries of so many people in this church. Jesus was the intervention of God's plan into our lives. That day when you said, no more hunger pains, no more, fill me up, Jesus. Take me out of these afflictions and make me anew. Just imagine the adrenaline of fear that was pumping through the four men, the four leprous men, as they dragged their weak, scrawny, feeble bodies towards the camp of the enemy. You can just see them dragging limbs, you know, just trudging along the road with no energy, feeble. And the conversation that they were having, I would say with each other, be of good courage, friend. The next step today might be our last, but be of good courage. The next step today might mean death, but be of good courage, friend. At least if we die taking a risk. Can you just imagine the surprise to discover that the Aramean army, their enemy, was gone from the camp? And when they went in, there was provision beyond provision. Because when the Arameans fled, they left everything. There was food in abundance. There was silver and gold in abundance. There was clothes in abundance. God brought his word to pass. When God says he's going to do something, God will do something. And have no mistake about that. Because the word of the Lord prophesied by Elijah had come to pass. God, in his supreme sovereignty, obeyed his own promise. He faithfully brought provision within the window frame of 24 hours. 24 hours he brought his provision around. Not a sword was drawn against the Aramean army. Not a drop of bloodshed was spilt. But the Lord, what he did was, he caused the enemy, the Aramean army, to hear a sound of onrushing horses and chariots that made them fear for their lives. A sound our God was able to make them think that they heard their enemy coming towards them. But those who do not fear God, he can make them fear at the shaking of a leaf. From the sound of a noise, he caused the enemy to scatter like a man would scatter dust. God liberated the four lepers. He provided provision for them. He set a banquet before them. They were the first to taste and touch of his provision. As Psalm 23 declares, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Their delight was no more hunger, no more hunger pains, no more poverty. They went from rags to riches within 24 hours. They were wearing the finest clothes and eating the finest food. They were wealthy. They had more silver and gold than they could possibly imagine. You know, as a people, we need to be a people that praise our God, that praise our God for taking us from death to life. As in Psalm 107, it says, "The redeemed of the Lord say so. The redeemed of the Lord say so." We can declare that we have been redeemed. What a testimony that we, the redeemed, can say so, that the Lord has delivered us from death to life, that he satisfies our thirst, that he satisfies our hunger pains when we come to him. Let the redeemed say so. Our filthy rags, our sins, have been traded in for robes of righteousness. That we, the redeemed, are bought back. We're bought back and we're clothed with the grace of God. But you know, the lepers, they had a conscience. And that conscience was that they had to release the blessings. That they knew that there was a city that was in starvation. They knew that there was a city that had turned their back on God. But they knew that they had to be the ones to go and to bring the good news. You know, we must not hoard up the blessings of God. In a time our country is facing great difficulties financially. There's a lot of hopelessness in our town at the moment. There's a lot of struggles, suicides. There's a lot of killings going on in our town at the moment. And we, the redeemed, that are in here today, we must go and must proclaim the good news of God. If the only result of our faith is to comfort us and just be a blending Christian, I mean, we might as well stay here and die. We might as well give up. But the heroic four reaped the rewards of freedom, hope, life everlasting. It was time for them to share the good news with a dying city. And I could just picture them. They strolled up to the town in swanky new clothes and they began to shout up to the gatekeeper, "Hey, mister, we're not unclean. We're hungry no more, but we are redeemed. We are redeemed, mister. And we have a message of good news. And we want to let you know what that message is. We want to tell you, mister, that we have found provision. That we have found the source of life." Let the redeemed say so. This was four lepers that brought good news of good tidings to a lost world. This is a day of good news. We want your gatekeeper to tell the king that we've eaten 20 pork chops, a leg of lamb, 20 chicken burgers, and there's a more food, a bigger harvest field than anybody in that city can imagine. God has opened up the windows of heaven. Tell the king and all the hungry people to come out. God has prepared a banquet like we've never seen before. I'm sure the gatekeeper said to himself, these four head cases are hallucinating. I'm sure when he looked down and he saw them, because a couple of days beforehand, he was the one that was throwing out the scraps of food to these lepers. And when he seen them, he must have been saying to himself, sure, I haven't thrown any food out to these guys in days. They should have been dead days ago. But the reality was, these four discovered freedom. They discovered provision. And today, as the church, we need to dare to believe differently, that the provision of God's Spirit is the source for all our needs, that we don't have to stay lost. We can experience a courage that embraces the challenge to change. We don't have to live cooped up when God has given us freedom and liberty to overcome the things of this world. That it's His transformation that leads to a renewed and exciting life in Him. The Christian life is not boring, folks. The Christian life is exciting when you come and accept Jesus into your heart. We don't have to live small as a people. God, in this world, when God has put a new song of praise on our lips, of us being the redeemed, us being set free, that we dare to believe different, that He can set us free from our addictions, from our infirmities, from our sicknesses. Our God can set us free. We, the redeemed, can be free for the Almighty Living God. The promises of the Lord says, we are certain of this hope that is here for us today in 2012. We're certain of it, His joy and the things to come. We've been commissioned as a people. It talks about it in Matthew 28, that Jesus commissioned the disciples to go and proclaim the good news to the world. It's the same message today for us. We have been commissioned to go out and to bring the good news of Jesus to a lost world. Our Christianity, folks, is not to blend in. We're not to blend in. We're not to blend into the crowd, but to go outside the perimeters of this church and bring the good news message of Jesus Christ. To bring the good news message into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, into a world that's dying and lost out there. That's our commission. That we set the captives free with the anointing power of Jesus Christ. You know, regardless of the response that we get from people, we have taken a step. That we step out like the four lepers. That we take that risk. And when we take that risk, that's when our faith is active. We've got to be a people who dare to believe differently. That God will show up with His provision and abundantly pour out His blessings. If the guys just bring up the next scripture. When the good news ran through the palace, when it ran through the streets of Samaria, that there was food beyond the horizon, the people set out. They plundered the camps and they got as much food as they needed, silver and gold and clothes. They took the provision of God. The provision of God was bountiful. Because when you serve a God, He gives good gifts to His kids. That's the God that we serve. And I just want to pick it up in 2 Kings 7, 17:9. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gateway. And he died. Just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a sea of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer had said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? This man of God had replied, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. And that is exactly what happened. And that is exactly the prophecy that Elijah declared at the beginning. Unbelief will stop us as a church from moving to where we need to go. Unbelief will say to us, that building around the corner, you'll never be able to pay the mortgage on it. Unbelief, it's a robber. Unbelief says, God cannot come through for me again in my time of need. Sure, I only called on him yesterday. Unbelief is a robber. Unbelief says, God will not spiritually feed me when I'm hungry. Unbelief is a robber. Unbelievers who mistrust the power of God's provision will not partake of the blessing. Expect the extraordinary. People of liberty, expect the extraordinary. Step out of your camp today. Ask the Lord for forgiveness in the areas where you haven't invested wisely, where you haven't depended on him fully. Tell the Lord today that you want every step and every breath of your life to be more filled with him. Do not leave this place today with unbelief. Whatever your situation is, if you dare to believe that you wish to be married, don't let unbelief rob you of that. If you dare to believe for a job, don't let unbelief rob you of that. Because the God of the universe gives good gifts to his kids. The God of the universe wants to pour out his blessings upon this church today. And I want to encourage you to come to the front. Adam is going to play a song now. And I want to encourage you, don't leave this place today. Don't leave this place today. If you have doubt in your heart, come to the front and ask the Lord to fill you up anew. Tell the Lord that you're hungry, because when you're hungry, he will come and he will feed you. He will feed you with the gifts, with the fulfillment that he has for your life. Tell him that you long to be filled. Tell him that you want to know him more. Open your arms out to him today. Refuse to be a skeptic. Refuse to be a skeptic in this life. Honest skepticism is okay. That's okay, because God can work with that. But unbelief and skepticism of negativity, guys, don't get robbed of that. Refuse to stay hungry. Refuse to stay hungry today. Come to the front. And I'm going to ask you to come and slip out. I'm going to ask you to come and be filled up with what God has for you. And with every eye closed in this place, if this word has touched your heart today, we're going to play a song. And I'm going to ask you to come and slip out. And the prayer team are going to come and they can pray with you. If you need to get out of a prison, a lifestyle, a mindset, come now. Slip out now. Come now to the front. Take a risk. Don't sit there and die. Take a risk now and step out and see what your God wants to give you today. Jesus says, I'm yours today. Come and fall at his feet, because the God of the universe wants to pour out his gifts on his children. The God of the universe says, I have more and more and much more to give you. Why don't you come? Come and share your heart with me today. Come and pour out what God wants to do in your life. If you're tired of the struggles of this life, tired of the darkness in your mind, there's a way out. There's a way out, people. This is an act of bravery when you say, Jesus, here I am. Feed me, Jesus. Here I am today. I'm hungry. I want to receive you, Jesus. Begin to cry out to him, people. If we can all stand. Come on, let's pray and let's release the blessings of God in this place today.